When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And happy Wednesday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia, 2 hours fantasy sports talk, wagering sports talk, props sports talk as we look forward to the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid, at Craig Mish, at Joe Pizzapia 17. Joe, just a few days until the Super Bowl is coming. I'm waiting on that meatball recipe for you, so I got something good to cook up on Sunday at 6:30, 6:40 Eastern, whenever the game begins. It will, and that'll be my week. That's my main goal, to have a good meal on Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you this. We actually got a couple notes regarding the meatball recipe. First of all, I told you already, you got to start it way earlier. So if you're going to eat at 6, they've all got to be in there, in the sauce, made ready by 3 o'clock, no later than that. But as you know, Mama Pizzapia watches the show sometimes, and she has notes for you and me. First note for me is if I give my meatball recipe to you, I'm out of the family, but that's okay. I think she's just being hyperbolic. But the other one was for you. She said, how does Craig not know that Julian Edelman was Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago? True story. Yeah. She really did say this to me.
Fair assessment. Yeah. It's very fair assessment.
I'll throw that out there.
I mean, listen, if you've watched trivia on this show for the last 6 months, that you would know that my winning percentage is extremely low in that category. So it's okay. You know, I mean, trivia, I thought trivia was my thing. I've come to learn that it is not. But it's okay. We will press on. We will move on. And speaking of which, here are our headlines here on this Wednesday, the 3rd of February, 2021. EA Sports makes the official announcement. NCAA football video game is on the way back, a couple of years away. We're going to see it again, I believe, on both Xbox and PlayStation. Fred Van Fleet, had the biggest night of his career last night, 50-plus points. We're going to get to that in our fantasy standouts. What a monster game he had yesterday. Nelson Cruz signs a one-year deal to go back to the Minnesota Twins, and you're going to be seeing a lot of signings in baseball coming up in the next 24, 48 hours. It just seems to be resigned to the fact there is no DH and teams are going to have to report on the 17th, and that is less than 2 weeks away. So 100-plus free agents need to sign, and I would guess every hour we'll probably have another one. Even on this show, I would predict we'll have a couple. Andrelton Simmons, very heartwarming story, struggled with a depression during the 2020 baseball season. I know this was a hard season for a lot of folks. We saw different opt-outs. Lorenzo Cain opted out as well, was concerned with his family situation as well. You certainly can understand that. It's been a very tough year for everyone, and sort of bleeding in a little bit to 2021. It does look like there's some hope on the horizon. And I hope for those of you who are watching, certainly if you have an issue, make sure you tell someone. Don't just let it fester, because those are the kind of stories that don't end particularly well. But Joe, Nelson Cruz, I think, is one of those names where when we have our discussions about Hall of Famers and we think, oh, like, I wonder if there's a chance there. Look, Cruz is like the Barry Bonds of now, I think, to a degree. He's never going to get walked 200 times. I understand that. But, you know, Tom Brady's playing. He wants to play till 45. We saw Bonds play into his 40s. Joe, I don't see any reason why, if Nelson Cruz continues this trajectory, that he can just do one-year deals for the next 4 or 5 years. I could see him playing till 45, 46 years old, hitting 20, 30 home runs. He's shown no slowdown whatsoever.
And physically, when you see him, I mean, I remember seeing him report last year, and I had a whole bunch of shares after I saw him report. The guy looks like he's 28 years old. He is in phenomenal shape. He takes really good care of himself, and he doesn't have to play the field. I mean, that is a huge thing, and he's figured it out. I mean, look at the longevity of David Ortiz, right? I don't think any of us, right. And I love Poppy, and Poppy probably the first guy to tell you this, I don't know if physical fitness was always Poppy's number one thing. You know, I mean, Poppy was a little round in the middle. I love that. I love that about baseball players. You can still be a baseball player and a little round in the middle. But you know what? Nelson Cruz, workout machine. Nelson Cruz is, like I said, like the equivalent of some guys. There's guys in their 20s that aren't as good a shape as Nelson Cruz is. And he's so good at what he does. This is a huge move, I think, for the Minnesota Twins to bring him back. Because I think when you're looking at this order right now, especially if you do want to start to bring in some of these young kids, right? They've moved on from Eddie Rosario. He's gone on to Cleveland, actually, in their same division. You've opened up spots now for guys like Alex Kirilloff, guys like Trevor Larnach now, who might be able to get some playing time in that outfield. We'll see if Byron Buxton at some point in time could ever really put a full 162 together. It seems like circumstances and health just never work out for that guy, but he is still relatively young by baseball standards. But Nelson Cruz being in the middle of that order means everything, especially because I think there's unknown with Donaldson now in his age, and that's looking like a tenuous contract. Kepler is a very good player, but right now you are looking up. If you're the Twins at the White Sox, you're looking up because of the rotation. You're looking up because of that lineup. And they are right now, I think, the favorites, and clearly FanDuel and Vegas and everybody agrees on that. However, I think batting Nelson Cruz keeps you in that conversation. And I think you would agree in terms of fantasy, every year there's a discount of a round or two on this guy that you should take. Because just because he only qualifies a DH, why not have an advantage there? Why not be great at DH and take a guy who could hit 40 home runs every year? I don't get it. And every year, just like Ortiz before him, and now Nelson Cruz the last few years, every year there's that discount. And my advice to everybody out there, take it to the bank.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% guilty on David Ortiz. I definitely, and remember doing shows on satellite radio every year saying, don't do it. Eventually it's going to end. Don't do it. Eventually it's going to end. I'm the opposite with Nelson Cruz. I've learned my lesson once. Some of these guys just stay in phenomenal shape and they continue to hit. I'm more worried when the guy is 28, 29 years old, 30 years old, for example, Chris Davis, like on Oakland, like, see, that makes me nervous. But when Nelson Cruz just keeps going out there and doing the same thing every single season, I got to believe in it. And so you're right. Big deal. Clogging up a utility spot with a guy that's going to hit 30. All right. Fantasy standouts are coming up next. We're going to bring in Brett Levy for the latest. We'll go through who did what, find out what Fred Van Fleet. Boy, I can't even get his name right today. We'll try to get it right next. Van Fleet. Okay, next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. We're going to bring in our producer, Brett Levy. For those of you who don't know Brett all that well, Brett, of course, worked for many years in the NBA and is now with us. We're so happy to have him here as our producer on Sports Grid. Now, it is very clear at the start of the show today that, you know, in general, I'm pretty good with names, but I'm having a really hard time with one. So I've made the executive decision to not try and pronounce his name anymore. And so for our fantasy standouts, Joe, you are going to do them here today. I am going to sit back. I'm going to let you pronounce the first name and all the other names. And then after you're done, we'll bring in Brett like we normally do. And then I'll handle the second part of the fantasy standouts. But I've already screwed up twice. I don't want to do it a third time. It's really embarrassing. So Joe, take it away with the fantasy standouts for last night.
Here are your NBA standouts for last night. Let's talk about the fantasy productivity. Fred Van Vliet, 54 points. What? 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Kyle Lowry had a good game as well. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 4 steals. Triple-double for Lowry. Vukovic, 21 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists. Kawhi Leonard had 33 last night with 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. You have Kyrie Irving, 39 points for Kyrie, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. A very nice game there for Kyrie, who seems to be getting back into the groove after missing some time for some personal reflection time, which we all need. James Harden, 23 points as well for him in that same game, 11 rebounds, 14 assists, 1 steal, triple-double for Harden there. And it was a pretty good night in Brooklyn, Craig, and I think I got through the Van Vliet, as it were. And that's tough because of the F. And I think that's the hard part right there. But yes, I made it through.
You did. You got through. Good job there. So I will turn it over to Brett with you on this one here. What did you make of that 54-point performance last night? Guys have these games where they're just unconscious, but he's played pretty well lately.
Yeah, I mean, he was rewarded with a big contract this offseason. He was a key part of their championship team. People know he's a good player, Craig, and kind of like what you said, he got hot, and, you know, no one could stop him. But it kind of stinks for Kyle Lowry, who had a triple-double and just kind of gets overshadowed. Like, what a great game for him, and no one's talking about him. DeMar DeRozan actually made fun of him on Twitter, saying, like, Kyle Lowry could never score 54. So just kind of a fun night for the Raptors to win a nice game in Orlando, play well, have multiple people play well, and have a career and franchise night from your shooting guard, Van Vliet.
Oh, and he says it so nicely, too. Well done there, Van Vliet. Maybe we should just have a whole Van Vliet thing, like just a whole section every day where we just, you know, check up on Van Vliet to see how you sure. I don't know. It seems like we should monitor his progress throughout the season. All right, Brett, I want to talk to you about the big three for a second because, well, I know we can't go a show without doing it. And I have a question for you regarding DFS, and I want to understand a little bit more like your take on this, because a lot of people are, you know, you try to plug in Durant and Kyrie and Harden, and it's tough. It's basically a star and scrub kind of lineup if you can even make it all work. But if you had to just approach one of them, is it just a game-by-game, matchup-by-matchup basis for you, depending on who they're playing, or is there more value tied to one of them, in your opinion, based upon their position and based upon what you think this offense is going to evolve into? Because all three of those guys are going to be at a premium on FanDuel every night. So how do you approach the big three if you can't make them all work and you can only get one?
Yeah, well, so since Kyrie took his little break, he's come back, he's averaged 30 points, so that's pretty good. And since James Harden's been traded, you know, he's averaging double-digit assists. So, I mean, I think those are the two I'd probably target. Not to say Kevin Durant isn't a great player also, but those two have tangible numbers attached to them and that are recent trends that you can kind of ride. So I'd rather be like, oh, you know, I'm getting a double-double out of Harden, or at least I'm getting 30 points out of Kyrie Irving. With Durant, you know, last night he was their best defensive player. So he's definitely a really important real basketball player. I don't know if he's making the same fantasy impact as Harden and Kyrie.
All right, let's go to our other fantasy standouts from last night. Another big game for Domantas Sabonis. He's having a fantastic year. I guess he's an all-star. 32 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Dame Lillard, a big game, 32-2, 8 assists, 1 block. Bradley Beal, who we're going to get to here in a second, 37 points again yesterday, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block. Russell Westbrook with a triple-double, 17, 12, and 10. Steph Curry was a monster yesterday. Fun to watch him on the court again. 38 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. And then the always, I would say, up and down, Donovan Mitchell. Last night was an up. 32 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. So, Brett, I believe it was either before or after the game yesterday. I never quite know with the NBA because, again, they're doing a lot of Zoom stuff here. So you're not, I'm not sure because you don't get quite the same thing from the reporters. I think I saw Bradley Beal say that he did not want to be traded from Washington yesterday, which is kind of curious mm-hmm. when we're playing in an era where everybody wants to be traded somewhere else and no one seems to be happy. Are you buying this? Do you think he's just playing nice so he could end up getting traded? I'm not really sure which way to go with this, but anywhere Beal goes, he's immediately either the number one or number two option on that team. I've talked about Miami for a while, but I you know, they're not having a great year. But I would assume that any team that's close or wants to get over to the top, you add this guy, all of a sudden you're a championship contender.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's possible he stays. He, you know, Washington's always treated him right. They've treated him like the franchise piece. And, you know, some guys want that and some guys are loyal. He could definitely be that guy. And maybe being in the rafters is more important to him, you know, than other things. So I, you know, never say never, but I would expect a lot of teams at the deadline to be in on this guy because, like you said, Greg, yeah. he's someone that can put you over the top. So, you know, never say never. He could be a Wizard, but, you know, the Wizards have done everything to make sure that he will be a Wizard. But, you know, if you get the right offer or, you know, you have a real shot to win a championship, it's tough to say no to that, too.
All right. Last night, obviously, we did pretty good in terms of looking at some stacks looking forward. Sabonis did pretty well last night. He was a guy we kind of targeted with the rest of the Pacers there. And I want to look at Houston tonight, Brett, because they've got a matchup against OKC, talking about maybe building some value around Christian Wood and then guys like Tate and Eric Gordon. Do you think that's viable tonight? Because it looks like a total around 114 potentially for them in this game. That's about what Line Star I know has them in a few other places potentially. So is there some value in Houston tonight? I know it's always tough. Like, you know, you look at the team that jettisoned a lot of players or stars or things like that, and they kind of get lost to the wayside. But is that one that's possibly on the board for you tonight? Or is there somebody else you think might bring some value to the slate?
Yeah, I mean, Eric Gordon certainly scores off the bench. So he's a guy, depending on where he's priced, could be a value play. Jason Tate, you mentioned, has played very well for Houston. Christian Wood's obviously been one of the nice stories in the league this year. Ironically, so is Jeremy Grant, who actually replaced him in mm-hmm. Detroit. So crazy enough, both of those guys are producing for their new teams. And, you know, I think the Rockets-Thunder game is definitely a fair spot to look. I think that'll be a high-scoring game. But there's so many games tonight, Joe. You know, one of these games goes into overtime or double overtime. That could offset the whole thing.
Well, interesting night for sure in the NBA, Brett. Looking forward to catching up with you again tomorrow. We'll go through the NBA fantasy standouts and see where we're at. Have a great day. Thanks again.
Sounds good.
All right, Brett Levy, our producer here, going through the fantasy standouts in the NBA. And Joe, back to baseball a little bit. We are getting ready to discuss Nolan Arenado. We'll also hear from the owner of the Colorado Rockies, Dick Monfort, who talked yesterday about the move that he made. But it looks like the hot stove's heating up a little bit. I know that the names aren't huge, Joe, but we did see Nelson Cruz. The Phillies signed Chase Anderson, gave him a major league deal, and he's going to be in their rotation this year too. So that's another interesting name on a pretty good offensive team. He'll be their fifth starter.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, like you said, it's 100 guys left, and there's going to be some important guys in those deeper fantasy leagues to pay.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Attention to where they land.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, coming up next, Nolan Arenado talks about being a member of the St. Louis Cardinals, and the owner of the Rockies talks about trading his franchise player. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. Dr. David Chad will be with us a little bit later. Our focus toward the Super Bowl and Super Bowl prop betting coming up in less than an hour from now. We'll go through some more for you guys on the show as we're doing all week long here on Fantasy Sports Today. But there are quite some big baseball news for those of you who are baseball fans or baseball fantasy fans getting ready to play your fantasy season coming up in a month from now. And we saw a seismic move over the weekend as All-Star, 8-time Gold Glove Award winner, and maybe even future Hall of Famer Nolan Arenado, just 2 years after signing a mega long-term contract to stay in Colorado, ends up leaving the Rockies. Basically, virtually through his own doing, asked for a trade about 12, 15 months ago, was quiet, played out all last year, but the Rockies saw an opportunity. They had several teams that they claimed were involved in this process and then decided to trade him to St. Louis. Arenado talked about yesterday the great environment that we'll be playing in St. Louis, but also sort of the sad moment of having to leave behind some of the players in Denver that he grew up with.
I signed in Colorado. I signed it with the intent to be there for the rest of my career. That was the intent, but you know, it wasn't meant to be. You know, the last few years have been tough and you know, I know a lot of people are probably bothered by this, but, you know, I'm not the first contract to get moved after a couple of years. You know, it happens a lot in this game. You know, it happened to Stanton. It's happening to me. You know, Lindor is another guy who, you know, I know he has a long-term deal, but, you know, I thought we all kind of figured he was going to be an Indian for a long time also. But it's just part of the game. It happens. And, you know, I feel bad. I don't feel bad because I'm excited. You know, I'm excited to move on. And I you know, I miss those guys. You know, they're my great friends. I consider them brothers, and you know, they got a special place in my heart. You know, we were able to do some great things, and I've known Charlie since I was 17, 18 years old also, you know, and I got to know Trevor and, you know, I got to meet a lot of great people there, but the intention was to sign there and be there, but things changed and I couldn't be happier for it to change and be in this situation now.
Joe, what's a little bit unique in this as opposed to the other two is that, and I understand where Arenado's coming from, and I'm a big fan of the person too. He's always been very kind to me as far as interviews and everything like that, never turned me down. But just to kind of clarify things a little bit, to be clear, you know, Stanton did not ask to be traded. The Marlins told him they were going to deal him and start over, and Lindor did not have a long-term extension. In the same vein, he is right. This is not the first time, it won't be the last, that big contracts are moved. But it was clearly his frustration, which is fine. I mean, we see it in the NBA all the time. We saw it this year with James Harden with the huge deal that when players have sort of felt like they want to move on, they force their hand a little bit. To Arenado's credit, Joe, he was quiet all last year. We didn't hear a thing, even after he requested the trade from spring training all the way on. We didn't even hear anything now. And so not exactly, I think, on point with some of those things, but respectfully to him, he's a great player. And certainly in this day and age of sports, when players want to move on, they usually are afforded that right.
Well, it's a catch-22, Craig, because the great player wants to get paid, but the great player also wants to win. And that's a hard thing to do in a small market. because when so much of the money is going to one person, then it's very difficult to spread it around to pay everybody else, whether it be guys who become arbitration eligible and end up getting moved on from, whether it be guys who at certain points in their career, you know, they can't sign other players because they're just hamstrung in terms of what they can do financially. So I get it. I understand Arenado's frustration, but it's tough. I mean, when you sign these mega deals with organizations that aren't in Boston, New York, LA, places like that, chances are this is going to be the outcome. And more often than not, it is. I'm trying to think of how many times we've seen one of these mega contracts in a small market like Stanton, like Arenado, like Alex Rodriguez back in the day, where they stayed there, it worked out, and the team was good. It rarely happens. So, I mean, if you think about all of that combined, it kind of just illuminates quite a bit why baseball is still very different than the other sports. Yes, the luxury tax does act to a certain degree as a cap, but there's no floor. There needs to be a little bit better structure of how they're going to pay salaries and not. Otherwise, you know, it's just going to be the same thing again. We're going to continue to go through this, and it's going to be the haves and have-nots. And that's the difference of why the NFL's, you know, you can have a long-term success in Green Bay for the last, what, 30 years, right, between the two quarterbacks. It's pretty incredible. In Green Bay, how small of a market is that? Why? They run things properly, and they're playing on the same level playing field as everybody else. And I think that's something that baseball probably will never get to because of the strength of the players' union. But unfortunately, Nolan Arenado becomes a victim of the circumstance.
You know, I disagree a little bit with that. And it's not to say, I mean, you used Green Bay. I could use Tampa Bay with baseball. I don't think that that's always the case. Oakland hasn't had a high payroll. They seem to win every year. So I don't know that I agree with you there. I understand your sentiment. But if an organization is run right in any sport, your chances of winning are much better. And we've seen that in baseball, too.
Not
so,
sustained winning. Not only I can say sustained winning. And well, where's the Tampa Bay ring? And where are the championships? What I'm saying is they can't get to that. I mean, I know, but
championship in all sports.
It is.
How many championships Green Bay won?
Not that many. You're right. One. But I think it's the symptomatic of Tampa Bay also doesn't draw, right? Tampa Bay also, you know, their profile wise is still very small of all things considered. And what do they do? Like they just moved. They let one of their best pitchers go and traded the other one. Why should they have to be doing that? Right? Why can't they? I mean, what message does that send to all the guys on the team? Where you know, it's like, wow, we were in the World Series. We're a game away from winning the World Series, and we're letting our two best pitchers go. Isn't that a tough pill to swallow for the teammates?
No, it definitely is, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But their churning has produced postseasons, you know, five of the last 6 years, and Oakland with no payroll and Billy Beane making a movie about it made the postseason 7 out of 10 years. So. I understand your sentiment. I just don't think it's a football conversation here. I don't think. I mean, the Bengals are the Bengals forever. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter who they have; they don't win ever. So, but I'm saying a good organization wins. They tend to.
You're right.
Dick Montfort is under a ton of heat for trading Nolan Arenado, especially with the return. But yesterday, at his press conference basically said that it was a really hard decision, and is actually counting on the Rockies to be as good or better.
I mentioned I'm a fan, and I truly am. So I understand how they feel. And to be quite honest, I would probably feel the same way. And maybe I do even feel the same way. Like I said, when we signed Nolan, it was in an attempt to keep Nolan here for the rest of his career. But things do change. So, you know, I know maybe nobody on this call will believe this, but I truly in my heart believe that this is a very talented team that underperformed the last couple years. And, you know, I'm not even going to count last year because it was a difficult year. But, you know, I think we underperformed. So I believe, you know, we're shorter talent than we were a year ago, but we've got a lot of guys that, to be quite honest, it's time to cut bait. And so this could be the challenge that they need. They need to step up and fill in this void. And the other thing is these days come, whether, you know, whether it's free agency, whether it's an end of a career or whatever, these things happen in time. And the organization needs to, you know, y'all have to step up. So we're going to face some issues with our fans, and we'll deal with it. And, you know, hopefully, hopefully we can get off and start playing well. And in time, the fans will understand.
Thanks for your time.
Fan base is fantastic in Denver. They show up no matter what. It's just a great atmosphere to have a ballpark in. As we take a look at the Rockies the last 4 years, I mean, Joe, you may be surprised here to take a look at this because, yeah, the last 2 years for the Rockies weren't really good. They won 91 at 87 games back-to-back years in 2018 and 2017. Everything does have to break right for them, and the pitching is always going to be an issue. But for me, what I took out of watching that yesterday, Joe, is that the owner traded the best player and at the same time is basically throwing down the gauntlet saying we need to be better without him or some people are going to be gone. And I think that that goes for the manager. I think it goes for the general manager. And I think it goes for a lot of the players. And I don't see it. So my estimation will be a year from now, we'll be talking about a completely different team, at least in my opinion. I don't see the Rockies being 500.
I don't think he's mincing any words there. I mean, if you didn't take that away from that comment, then I don't know what you all were listening to. Clearly, he's saying to the rest of these guys, we still expect you to be a competitive team. And, you know, the Rockies, it's always the problem with pitching. You know, sometimes you get those one-off good years from guys like Ubaldo Jimenez or Marquez and what happened, or Kyle Freeland, and then they revert back. It's very difficult to consistently pitch in that ballpark. I always think that the best thing to do is, you know, to a certain extent, go back and revisit the old Larry Walker, Dante Bichette, Vinny Castilla days. Just go drive your opponents into the ground and just outscore them and hope that you can get some home playoff games and take your chances. To me, that's the way to win. But they had some really curious additions. I thought they spent way too much money on Daniel Murphy. That made no sense. And it's difficult because you can't draw free agent pitching there too. And it's hard enough to grow good pitching, but then if you can't, you want to be able to acquired on the free agent market, and no pitcher wants to go there. The last pitcher that signed there was what, Mike Hampton, I think, years ago, and that was a very, very long time ago, if memory serves, Craig. I had hair. Yeah. That's how long ago it was. So it's not a good look. It's always difficult in Denver, but you're right, it's a good fan base. I want to know if they could put a dome on another ballpark there and, you know, make it a more controlled environment, if that would change. I don't know if it would or not. I don't know the science behind that, but it just seems like they are kind of doomed before they start. Because
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The environment works against them in so many different ways, not just on the field, but sometimes also off of it in terms of acquisitions.
But again, it is interesting. They won 87 games in 17 and 91 in 2018. How many teams have not won that amount of games in the last 15 years? Right. Seattle being one of them. Texas is another one. It's just they're up against it. There's no question. And you're right. As far as free agents, they just have a hard time signing anyone. They have to grow their pitchers to the point where they get to keep them. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And coming up this Sunday here on Sports Grid, Joe and I will be hosting back-to-back shows, not together, but separately, as we get you ready for the Super Bowl here on Sports Grid, and we'll be on the air from morning all the way through the end of the game. So make sure you keep it right here over on Sports Grid and sportsgrid.com. Joe, we're updating the lines courtesy of FanDuel every day here on the show. Nothing much has changed, but we'll give it to you. Kansas City -3 against Tampa Bay, and again, -120 on the money line for Kansas City. Not much adjustment there. The total is 56.5. This is pretty standard for a Super Bowl. You do not see a lot of adjustment right up until the game. You may get some on Sunday, but this time of the week, you're pretty much getting money on both sides. So, all right. So without further ado, Joe, let's dive into some more props today here on the show. We'll see if we could come up with some good ideas, maybe for some people out there who are considering betting on the game this weekend. Shall we?
Let's.
Missed field goal in the game. We have a +125 on a yes, and a no is -160. So there's a couple of factors here. First of all, Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, always makes his field goals, but for some reason has trouble making extra points. At least that's something that I've viewed on the season. The Tampa Bay kicker also seems to be pretty good, hasn't missed many field goals all season long. And on top of it, the environment that we're dealing with at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, I've covered football games there for many, many years. It's like Florida. It's kind of like we're a no-win zone. Usually things like that don't happen. Now, weather can change. It is Florida. It is this weekend. I've looked at the weather in advance. I did not see anything out of the ordinary for a game being played there. I also went to the Super Bowl in Raymond James Stadium. I was there, and it was a nice night. Just a really good day for football as for what I remember. So I guess my lean here, Joe, would be toward the no. We have two aggressive coaches that really don't like kicking 56-yard field goals. They tend to go for it more than not, both on the Tampa Bay and on the side of Kansas City. So my lean would be no here, but I could see, look, you can't predict if a guy's going to miss a 45-yard field goal. It can happen. So there's definitely a side to be played for that. But my lean would be no, -160.
What's the humidity there? That's what I want to know. I think the humidity has something to do with the kicking. Yeah, go check out. Go outside and check that for me. I know Tampa's right around the corner from you. But, you know, the way kicking's been all year, especially in some big spots, I'm going to make the case for the miss. I am. And it's simply because the law of averages this year, if you're not going to give me just one side, you're saying I get all the combinations. Now, look, if you threw in extra points and just said miss kicks, I mean, I would actually be aggressive on the yes. That's where I would be. This is not a bet that I love. It's not a wager that I'm really thinking about putting money on. But for the sake of the discussion and kind of working out the prop here, the way kicking's gone this year, I mean, I understand Justin Tucker was in a very tough environment there in Buffalo a few weeks ago. He's about as good as it gets and still missed two. So I don't think I've seen him miss two in, 5 years, and he missed two in one game. Granted, wind, all these other things, it was cold, all this stuff. But let's not also forget that there's also some pressure here. It's a crunch time situation. Right. It's big moments. And if something that we've learned over the Super Bowls of the year is big moments and kickers sometimes don't always go together. Ask the Minnesota Vikings fans, ask the Buffalo Bills fans. This is something that they've dealt with for quite some time. And some kickers who've gone from, you know, anonymity to fame very quickly for simply missing a kick. And I would be hard pressed. I think the best argument you're making for the other side is definitely the efficiency of the offenses, right? And the aggressiveness of the coaches, and they want to go and they want to score points and settling for field goals. But you got to be some field goals in there somewhere, at least some attempts. So I'm going to go with the other side just from the law averages of watching football in the last few years.
All right, let's take a look at the opening drive and teams to score on their opening drive. And these, again, all courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook. And one that I actually like here of the four options here. Either team to score on their opening drive, yes, is -145 and no is +115. What does that mean? It means you're risking $145 to win 100 or risking 100 to win 115. And both teams scoring on their opening drive, the yes is +600 and the no is -1100. And so when I looked at this morning, initially, I thought, wow, I can get 6-1 and all these teams have to do is score a touchdown or kick a field goal. And then I went back and I looked and it's like, I mean, the Bucs don't always score on their opening drive. They seem to be, it seems like it takes Brady a little bit, like second quarter, third quarter to get going. The last game notwithstanding, they scored right away. I understand that. But then I kind of pivoted back and thought between Tampa Bay and Kansas City, I feel like one of those two teams is going to do it. I don't think I can count on both, but I think one will. And I don't think that the money line here at minus 145 is that egregious. So I do like this one. I'm going to say yes, minus 145, that they will score. I don't need both. I just need one. I think it's a little too much to assume that both teams are going to score. I feel like Kansas City always scores in their first drive, either a field goal or a touchdown. But and Tampa Bay did in their last game against Green Bay, went right down the field, scored to begin the game, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and the second time too with Fournette. But I am going to say yes on one of the two teams to score. Yes at minus 145.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of time. We kind of touched on this yesterday. I agree with you. I don't think the 145 is egregious. And on top of that, we sort of discussed a little bit yesterday about the execution, right, and how good these quarterbacks are. And they've got 2 weeks now to formulate a game plan and come out with that opening set of plays and that opening drive. And I would be hard-pressed to think that we're going to see two punts to open the game. That's just not really the Kansas City offense, and I don't think that's going to be Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. I think they're going to, you know, push the ball, go forward here, and be very aggressive. And I actually kind of agree with you on this one. I think that's the way to go. And I can understand, you know, if you wanted to factor in, oh, it's a Super Bowl and everyone's just feeling each other out a little bit and trying to get their footing and the crowd is so loud and so many pictures and stuff. This is going to be a very different environment. So I don't think that argument holds water here. I think this is going to be a very subdued environment by comparison. And on top of which, it's an environment that both quarterbacks have already played in. Obviously, Tom Brady's played in one or two, but Patrick Mahomes already been to it. He's already had that one. You can kind of shake off the, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in the Super Bowl thing. You don't have to worry about that. These guys are, you know, we got the grizzled old veteran, the grizzled young veteran, to pull a little wrestling term for you NXT fans out there. It's a grizzled young veteran in Mahomes. He knows what's going on. Big moments are not going to be too much for him. So yeah, I actually like this too. I think at least one of them would score on the opening drive to go two punts. That doesn't sound like the kind of game that we're going to get on Sunday.
Yeah, and again, minus 145 is not – well, usually when I'm at 160, 170, I'm out at that point. That's when it starts to get too much for me. But it is not that unreasonable, I don't think, at minus 145 for it to happen. So, okay, let's take a look at the longest touchdown in the game and the props over on FanDuel, and this will include special teams. We have an over-under of 46.5, minus 110 to risk 100 on both sides. And the shortest touchdown scored, which would be including special teams, over 1.5 is plus 120, under 1.5 is minus 155. So I'll start with the first one and I'll go to the second. With Kansas City, they have Tyreek Hill, and that can be a 50-yard touchdown at any time. But when going through some of the numbers, you'd be surprised. They do not score a ton of these 50, 60-yard touchdowns. Hill does get a lot of 50-yard catches, but then it's Mahomes throwing a Kelce or throwing a Hardman or Edwards-Helaire or somebody else doing something to score the touchdown. On the flip side, Tampa Bay seems to be that team that are scoring on the big touchdowns. It's Bruce Arians, right? It's Scotty Miller. It's Mike Evans. Previously, Antonio Brown had a couple of them. Godwin's not necessarily that guy. I would lean in this game, I would lean under 46.5. I don't feel great about it because, again, there's a ton of luck involved in this thing. A guy gets open and that changes the game. And then, Joe, as far as the shortest touchdown scored, we obviously understand that under 1.5 is probably the better bet because you get a pass interference in the end zone, guys on the 1 yard line. Feels like a lot of games we watch, there are 1 yard touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So more likely than not would be an under for me at minus 155. But I really don't like this one for example. Like I like a team to score first. The juice is a little high in this 155, and I don't think that there's a guarantee. We could go the whole game, and there could be no pass interference in the end zone, and they could score from 5 or 6 yards out. They're both very good offenses, and Brady every once in a while will sneak, and Mahomes every once in a while will sneak from the one. But in general, it's those two quarterbacks dropping back and throwing into the corner of the end zone for a touchdown. So I'll just pass on that second one. Lean under 46.5 for the longest score of the game.
Well, Brady made a career in New England of getting those 1 yard goal line touchdowns. So let's not forget that. He's the king of fourth and inches, you know, and every time, I mean, he would just go right behind the tackle or wherever he was and just boom, next thing you know, he's in there. Look, I'm going to say I'm with you. I don't love this second one, but I do think that you can look at this and say to yourself, the under is probably the better of the wagers, because at some point you're right. There is a goal line moment there. They are right there. And maybe you don't plug it in the first one. Maybe it's the second one or something happens there. So I think that's the lean. The other one I want to come back to with the big plays, because when you have Tyreek Hill in a game and Mecole Hardman in a game, The speed is undeniable. And let's not forget, Tyreek Hill did have that game where he put up 50 fantasy points and what, 200, I don't even remember how many yards, 246, what was it? I mean, they had no plan for Tyreek Hill, none. Now, granted, you think, okay, we make adjustments, we have some time, but it's also not lost on me that there's two injuries on that safety situation there that they're still dealing with, Winfield and Whitehead. So those guys were both out, or one got hurt during the game, one was out for the game last week against the Packers, or 2 weeks ago now. And if those guys aren't healthy, you can have all the game plan in the world. If you're not healthy enough to run with Tyreek Hill, you can have all the great ideas, all the good intentions, all that stuff. You didn't have the answers for him last time because you just don't have the personnel to match up. And the personnel you do have is hurt. I don't know, Craig. This feels like one to really consider, I would say, the over. Because over? Okay. it is because of the circumstance of the safeties, along with Tyreek Hill, along with what you saw last time. And look, I understand, like you say, okay, we can't let that guy beat us. That's all fine and good, but do you have anyone to actually stop him in the personnel? And what's the health of those guys? And I think that's a big giant question mark right now. So Tyreek Hill, I think, does have that 50 and over possibility. Mecole Hardman has it as well. And I don't want to lose sight of that, as if all of a sudden you do push over to Tyreek Hill so much, look what happened last time against Buffalo when you don't really pay attention to Mecole Hardman. He has that same sort of explosiveness. And he might be on the field more if Robinson is not. So also keep that in mind in terms of snap count, what we get from some of these guys. So there's a lot to consider here. But for me personally, I would lean the other way. I would lean on the big play when it comes to Tyreek Hill, because that's what this offense does. That's what they're very good at. And it's not to say the Tampa can't find somebody to do that, but you're right. Godwin's not that guy. I don't think Evans, not at this stage of his career, doesn't seem like he's been that dude. So it would have to be probably like a big run get ripped off by Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette, which we have seen this year a few times. So that's another one to keep in mind. They've had some huge, big runs, both of those guys, that kind of, we used to say, you know, they kind of padded their totals a little bit. Remember Ronald Jones' huge game? He had a couple of them where it was well over 100 yards because he had like a 70-yard run on one, like a 90-yard run in another game. Same thing with Fournette. He had a couple big runs in some games too. So don't discount Tampa being able to help you out too. I think he got more outs in this one than people realize.
Okay. Yeah, Scotty Miller had that long touchdown also right before the half.
Another good one.
Last week too. So yeah, you never know. It's definitely an interesting props to look at. We'll continue to look at them throughout the week as we get closer to the Super Bowl here on Sunday. But coming up next, it's time to play a little fantasy trivia. We talk so much about all the great players and all the great teams who have been in Super Bowls. We sometimes forget there have been teams that have never been to that game, which is pretty crazy considering NFL has been around as long as it has. So we'll touch on that next. Also, the top sports cards that you want to be looking for heading into Super Bowl Sunday on the Chiefs side and the Bucks side. I think you probably can guess which cards those are, and honestly, I don't think anybody can afford them either. But either way, Josh Cohen is going to join us coming up a little bit here on the show. We'll go over that, in addition to Dr. David Chow going over the injury report for the Super Bowl. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It's time for a little fantasy trivia here on the show. We're going to talk a little Super Bowl trivia. Always fun to dive back into time to see if we know our history with the Super Bowl, Joe. So what do we got today?
All right. Well, a lot of teams have gotten to the Super Bowl. Not every team has won a Super Bowl, but there's still a few that have not even gone to the dance at all. They're out there, and it's very sad. So let's see if we can name those sad danceless partner people out there. And I'll give you a hint. Two of the four teams were actually in the playoffs not that long ago. So that's pretty good. So keep that in mind. So let's see if you can name the four teams that have never appeared in the Super Bowl. Two are expansion teams. One made the playoffs this year. That's my hint, because whenever I don't give you multiple choice, I like to give you hints and make it fair. And you would have a streak. You'd have two in a row because you got yesterday right also. So let's see if you can pull this out.
Well, I know Jacksonville is definitely one.
That is one. Just think losing. Right. Sad people, okay. Bags on faces. Come on.
I know that Houston is sort of an expansion team, and they have yes. not been
through right. right, and they'll okay. never get to one for the next 10 years when they trade Deshaun Watson. That's two. The other two are so easy. Old school teams. Come on, baby. I know you can do it. Two more.
Old school teams? Is it Cleveland Browns?
It is Cleveland Browns. That was the one in the playoffs this year. They had a chance.
Okay.
Obviously, it didn't work
out.
And
then there's one more.
Come on, baby. Well, epic losing year after year, especially on the holiday.
Oh, Detroit.
Yes! Ding, ding, ding. Two in a row. The streak is alive for Craig Mission. Well, loving it. Yeah. Okay, here's a question. Of those four organizations, which of the four gets to a Super Bowl first? I'm guessing it's Jacksonville or Cleveland. Is that the way you want to go? Just saying. Doesn't look like the Texans and Lions are heading there anytime soon.
I would go with Jacksonville. Yeah. I would take Jacksonville.
Right, Trevor Lawrence. Sure. Me too.
Yeah, I would go that route.
Cleveland's the easy answer. I feel Jacksonville might be the more fun.
So, but yeah, I think Lawrence is going to be listen, I liked Lawrence more than Burrow, silly me, but I think he'll be a star in the NFL. All right, coming up next, it is hour two. We got some baseball news for you. Go away.